If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by 10. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "LeBron, sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Welcome to Stir the Pot Sports, presented by Chlorocrest Media Group and CMG Podcast. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett, Sander Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chilling. You?
Feeling great, baby.
Yeah, feeling good. I had a little delay there. Seems like, nonetheless, we're up to speed. I'm very excited. You know, we have big NBA playoff games going on tonight. We had a legendary Hall of Famer retire earlier today. But I got to start with what I saw last night, guys, because baby Bird, Luka Doncic himself, put it on the Clippers, dropping 39 points in a victory against the Clippers, 127-121. And I'm telling you guys right now, Luka, I don't care what anybody says. I know that the Clippers team has a lot of talent, but Luka Doncic is the best player on that court when these teams have played. This kid's averaging 38-8 every time he sees them, and it just shows it in his body language. He is not scared of this Clippers team pride. He's facing them like he's looking at them like they're boys, and he's the big boy on the block. And guess what? He should be, because he's that good. So I'll start out with you, Pride. You know, they're up 2-0 with a commanding lead. So this series, what has it told you more about the Mavericks team or the Clippers team?
They're both. Honestly, I just don't know which one it is more, to be honest. It could be that this Mavs team is, frankly, that good, that they're good enough to be contenders. That's a possibility. I mean, people was always saying, oh, who's going to step up and help Luka? I mean, obviously, in game one, Luka out here dropped 31. Game two, 39. Both he had efficient nights both nights. Kristaps also came in. He gave you game one, gave you 14. He didn't have that good of a game one, but game two, he came back. He got dropped you 20, was highly efficient. But a dude that, frankly, has stepped up for these dudes, Tim Hardaway Jr. This dude gave you 21 and 28 both games, shooting over 60% from the floor. That right there tells you that these guys can get points from anywhere. Like these guys are – and honestly, I think it's just more along lines of, like, I think Dallas really has – like, they're in their heads rent-free. Like, no lie, bro. Like, absolutely. I don't know what it is, but every time it comes to the Clippers – the Clippers just – I don't know what it is. It's almost as if the Clippers want to call themselves Superman, and here comes Kryptonite, and all of a sudden they're down 0-2. You know what I mean? And then it's funny because Paul George was like, oh, yeah, we're down 0-2. That doesn't matter. First and foremost, to anybody who – stop asking this man questions. This is the same dude who, when they lost last year, was like, oh, we didn't have championship expectations. That is the equivalent of, like, of when KD went to Golden State, and let's say they lost year one. You're going to have KD sitting up there and go, man, we didn't think we were going to win this year. Huh? The Clippers mortgaged their future to bring you here. Well, not for you, mostly Kawhi, because you're not that guy. We all know that. But they did all this to bring you two here. And this man talking about, oh, we are down 0-2. It don't matter. Huh? Look, man, ain't no way. If they go down 0-3, I'm telling you this right now. They go down 0-3. Kawhi no show in game four. And if they win game five, Kawhi's in New York. I'm telling you that right now. Kawhi dipping. If I'm Kawhi, bro, I'm dipping, bro. It's crazy. Like, I keep getting told these guys are dogs. I keep getting told this, right? And I'm like, you know what? Let me sit back and let me watch. And I'm not even going to use the whole corny line of, oh, yeah, bro, I'm looking for Riley to the 12. I'm not even looking for that line. I just want to see somebody show up and ball out. That's all I'm here for, because I thought Clippers were going to win in 7. I really did. The way it's looking now, Clippers lost in 3. I don't know what's going on with these dudes, bro. Yeah. And it's to the point where, like, Kawhi Leonard, this dude can't buy a 3-point shot. Let that sink in, bro. The best game he's had from 3-point land is 25%.
Not good enough.
I'm going to put it to you this way, bro. I have a higher chance of recovering my car than this dude has of making a three-point shot. And I'm what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with that, bro? No, because the thing is, I want to be a Clippers fan. I want to respect them because, look, man, Lob City.
Dude, I love it.
I love Lob City, bro. You can do that all you want. Guess what? This is what they was doing to dudes, bro, in regular season. When they was lobbing them, they was putting them down. Look at Brandon Knight. Look what DeAndre Jordan did to him. That was prime on DeAndre Jordan.
Hasn't been seen. That was legendary.
But like, those Clippers, I like. They were exciting. They were cool. Now I'm seeing this. I'm seeing a whole bunch of dogs that need rest. Huh? Question mark? People want to kill LeBron because, oh, yeah, bro, LeBron takes games off. Bro, Kawhi takes weeks off. And the man still can't get another one. Come on, Skip. Like, bro, this is the first time that they – well, not really the first time. The second time they have pressure on them. These dudes out here choking. These dudes, it's ridiculous. But honestly, bro, I don't know who to give. I don't know if I should give Dallas more credit or if I need to give the Clippers less credit. I really don't know which it is. Because we all know Luka's a baller. We know he's a baller. But it comes to a point where on the other side of the court, there's two dudes who are supposed to be able to ball. And again, let me not kill Kawhi, because that's not fair to him. That's not fair to him, right? Because then you got guys like Paul George, who's I was told this is the best. These are the two best wing defenders combo, bro. These guys are phenomenal, bro. Jordan and Pimpin. They were being compared to Jordan and Pimpin, bro. Bro. A middle schooler named Jordan is out here balling on him, bro. Like, come on. Look, man, JJ. I'm asking a serious question, bro. You put this show together. Why are we talking about him? Why? We are part of the problem because all we're doing, what it is, you know when a kid does something bad and instead of reprimanding them, you just give them more attention? That's what we're doing with the Clippers. They're playing bad. Why are we talking? They don't deserve it. Let's just call it a sweep. Get them out of here, right? Mm. If Kawhi wants to stay, hey, fine. You can stay and lose in the first round. Get your money up. You got a couple of rings in your back pocket, so you're chilling. You got a final. You got two finals MVP. You're good. Mm-hmm. You good. Wrap it up. Call it a career. But I'm telling you, man, this is being a Clippers fan this day and age, not exhausting. It has to be detrimental, bro. It has to be traumatizing.
Worse than the Cowboys?
Honestly, they're a step above Dallas. Because, again, Dallas is just straight garbage. And people try to act like they're good. This Clippers team has talent. I don't know what's going on. This Clippers team has talent. I don't know what's going on with them. And, frankly, I just want Luka to drop a 50-point triple-double so we can have Kawhi crying again and have playoff PP. Sorry, Paul George, my bad. Have Paul George be like, oh, we're down 3-0. We're not worried about it. Bro, what you need to be worried about is your shot, kid. Go ahead, Lay. I'm done.
Paul George in the post-conference said, oh, there's no urgency. There's no immediate urgency. My man, you know what, Pride? You said you wasn't going to cry. Well, let me go ahead and do the honor of killing Pride right now because it was just straight an abomination. This man dropped the most meaningless 41 points in a game I've ever seen an NBA player play. I've never seen an NBA player drop 41 points and it literally mean nothing because the man had 32 points in the first half and didn't do nothing, absolutely nothing the second half. Scored in a measly 8 points, okay? And everybody talks about the defender. Oh, this guy's locked down. He won MVP finals in the finals because he locked down LeBron. LeBron was 30 that series and he still got MVP. Come on. Luka's out here cooking them, bro. Just straight up demoralizing them. A kid that's not even 25 years old yet, hasn't reached his full prime yet, and he's out here bullying both of them. When I saw PG on Luka, I'm like, oh my God, PG, what are you doing? And he got scored on. When I saw Kawhi on Luka, I'm like, okay. And then Luka's just straight doing what he does best, and he's balling. What this shows me is that the Clippers, more that the Clippers just is not that team, bro. They might have they're top heavy with Kawhi and PG. Everything else, bro, they're just not built to play in the playoffs. And we did the same thing last year with the Dallas Mavericks and the Clippers. And King Jaffe, my brother, I know you probably watching, and I know you a Clippers fan, but I'm going to get on you, bro, because you, as long as you've been alive, bro, they haven't won anything. Why? Because they can never get it done when it matters the most. And you talking about you brung Rondo mid-season for these type of moments. My man's not even playing 20 minutes a game, bro. What was the point of that? It's like you needed leadership. You needed a guy. I saw LeBron getting Contavious Caldwell-Pope face and talk about, I just need it. I have never seen Kawhi Leonard ever do anything like that. Ever. And honestly, I don't even think I'll ever see him do anything like that. So the Clippers are just all over. And Dallas is on the verge of sweeping them. And honestly, I feel like if Kawhi gets swept in the first round, bro, I don't think he's built to handle that situation. He'll take the first flight out of there. Pride, you said New York, that would be beautiful seeing Kawhi Leonard in a Knicks jersey with that type of team, the way they're being built. But, you know, there's some rumbling supposedly that the Miami are also trying to acquire Kawhi Leonard when he reaches free agency. And that'd be great, too, because honestly, I don't think right now the Clippers has what it takes. Paul George, as good as he played yesterday, he didn't play bad. Dude, you still not doing enough. I think in order for the Clippers to try and beat the Dallas Mavericks this series, Kawhi and Paul George need to tuck their chin down and just straight ball. And I'm talking about ball like they've never balled before, because that's what's going to take. That's what it's going to take. Porzingis is looking really healthy. He doesn't even look ailing when he's out there. When he's on the bench, he doesn't look like he's hurt anymore. The kid actually looks 100% healthy. And that's dangerous as hell, because, again, I refer to the bubble. The Mavericks with Porzingis, they were giving the Clippers problems. And as soon as he went down, the Clippers won the series. I don't see that happening this year. I don't see Porzingis get hurt. I see him stick out the rest of the series. And I'm sorry, man, but the way Luka was balling last night, bro, I see the Dallas Mavericks winning this respectfully 5. The Clippers might get one game, but that's going to be – you're going to see if they do win game 3, it's going to be because Kawhi and Paul George played the game of their lives. And I think they can do that 4 times in a row to beat Dallas, because Dallas is just toying with them. They're playing great defense. The way they run their offense, the way Luka's running their offense, Tim Hardaway Jr. stepped up. You said it, Pride. He's been stepped up recently. That's what they needed, because they needed a guy who can go out there and knock down perimeter shots and can help Luka in situations like this. And, dude, the Mavericks right now are in all cylinders. We're seeing the new generation take over, and Luka is the man. I see the Dallas Mavericks taking this in 5, man. I really do. It shows more that the Clippers just are not that team. We saw this last year from the Mavericks already. We already know what the Mavericks are. They're a really good team. The question was always the Clippers. Can they do it? And they just can't, bro. It's more that the Clippers can't do it.
Yeah, and, you know, prior to earlier in your segment, you asked, why did I make section? Because I want to talk smack about the Clippers, and I want to talk good about my guy, Luka, okay? That's what it is, man. Luka Doncic is growing up right before your very eyes, and you said, Asander, you know, the new generation is coming, and it looks like Luka's leading the charge for these guys at the moment. You know, this guy is not afraid of the big moments. He's not the greatest shooter, but he's good enough. He's serviceable. He's going to make – it's funny, he makes a more contested shot more easily than he does. It's a weird science about Luka Doncic. And he's not fast. He's not the muscle guy. I call it sloppy finesse, because he knows how to get into there. It doesn't look pretty, but he knows how to score on you. Before you know, you're like, damn.
Like a little Nurkic or Joker.
It's a little weird. Bit, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, he played – it's that European thing. You know, they got that finesse about themselves. And it really has told me more about the Mavericks. I feel like, you know, they took that loss to the Clippers last year very personal. I feel like they thought, damn, if we have Porzingis, and if I wasn't hobbled, me being Luka Doncic, maybe we could really take on these Clippers. And right now they're showing not only can we compete against them, but we're on the verge of knocking these guys out, because I already knew this about the Clippers. Like I said, I hate them. And I just want to clarify earlier when you were talking about the Clippers and I was giving you the thumbs down, I wasn't necessarily putting the thumbs on Lob City, because I thought that was actually a good era for the Clippers. I just hate these guys. These guys, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, punk-ass Pat Beverly, who got everybody fooled on defense. This team feels like they won something when they didn't. This team just walks around like they got 6 inches plus on their Johnson when honestly they're walking around with probably chodes in their pants because they haven't done nothing. So we ask them, I don't understand where this big dick energy comes from. They haven't done anything. Last year they thought that they could almost win the season and be like, yo, we're gonna get into the playoffs and win games. And what happened? Joker and the Nuggets put it on them after being down 3-1. They came back on them. And let's not sleep. The Clippers have lost 5 straight games since in the playoffs since last year. They haven't won a playoff game since Denver came back on them 3-1. So I don't understand why the Clippers have this big thick energy, and I don't know where it's coming from, Pride. Help me.
Well, I'm going to tell you where it came from, right? The mistake that they made was taking 2 games off Golden State with a healthy KD. That was their mistake. Because when that happened, because look, back then, I kind of liked those Clippers team. Even though Patrick Beverly, to quote Russell Westbrook, Patrick Beverly got everybody fooled thinking he played defense. It's crazy. This dude really – and it's wild to me because I used to think, oh, yeah, Pat Bev is decent on defense. Then I heard Russ talking, and I just thought Russ was mad because, you know, him and Pat Bev never liked each other, even back to, like, OKC. Back when Russ was an Iron Man and Pat Bev lunged and then tore his knee up. So I was like, you know what? Let me watch. And I started realizing it, and Russ opened my eyes. Yo, this dude don't play defense. He don't. All he does is he chirps. And then when you miss, claps. I'm like, bro, you got crossed up and you still at half court. He pulled up for a corner three. What? Why are you clapping, bro? So let me just get out the way. Now, to answer your question on where all this energy came from, they took 2 games off a healthy Golden State. In their minds, they're like, yo, if we just had 1 superstar, we would have been good.
Were
they
messed up?
Yes. The second mistake they made was giving Kawhi Leonard everything he wanted. Because had they made Kawhi Leonard come and be like, yo, Kawhi, the Lakers ain't going to take you, kid. You don't want to be up there. Of all the LA teams, we are the we are most likely to put up a better fight to the Lakers. What you going to do, go to Sacramento? What, you think Golden State going to come at you with open arms? Listen, kid, you're good, but you're not KD. They ain't going to welcome you like that. So now when they brought him in and they let him do all this stuff, now they tricked Paul George into thinking he's a superstar. Because now they let Paul George miss stuff. They're letting Paul George do what he wants to. So now you got guys who came in with their – you got the Montrezl Harrells of the world and, heck, even the Lou Wills of the world who came in and were like, yo, practice matters. Like, not just game. Practice matters too. Then you got –
Pride, like, the process matters.
Yep. It matters, bro. And it was just wild to me. And I just want to put this in context, right, because it's kind of funny to me, right? We consider Kawhi Leonard and Paul George to be in their prime. A 22 – bro, this kid is younger than me. A 22-year-old is not just giving him the business. He's not just giving him the business. Prime, they call him daddy. They asking Luka for allowance.
You're too small.
Luka's out here asking for allowance.
Nah, Sander, I'll take the heat for this one. My man Lucas said, you're too fucking small. He told him straight to your face, yeah, Beverly. You're too damn small.
I like it, bro. It's top, bro.
This whole thing, man, with the Clippers, I'm going to tell you this right now. Even if Kawhi stays, if they don't make it to the Western Conference Finals, I refuse to speak about them until they make it. And, JJ, I understand you hate them. That's fine. I will leave, and I will let you have your whole hoopla, and then I'll come back. I'm not kidding, bro, because what bothers me the most, right, is we kill LeBron. We kill AD. Heck, even with the snake – I'm sorry, Kevin Durant, my bad. Even with the snake went to Golden State.
He was right the first time.
Why is it that when these two dudes mess up, the only thing we're allowed to say, we're allowed to make fun of Paul George for a couple days, and then all of a sudden everybody on Twitter, oh my God, bro, do you see what he got to go through? I'm like, look, man, I don't care what he got to go through. Once you step on the court, you know, ifs, ands, or buts, I don't care what you got going on. I don't care if you ain't got enough fruit in your bowl, bro. Coconut, mangoes, watermelons, I don't care, bro. Once you're on that court, you need to perform, bro. Don't come up to me with all this anxiety nonsense when you're out here shooting 2 for 10 and people are pressing you. Don't hit me with that nonsense when Dame Winner's out here, Dame Winner's deep in your face. Now all of a sudden you got anxiety. You got anxiety then, right? But when you're up 3-1 on Denver, oh, you was living life. You was living your best life when y'all was up 3-1. Then all of a sudden y'all dropped 4 straight and all of a sudden – or, yeah, y'all dropped 3 straight and all of a sudden, man, the bubble was hard. Nah, bro. Nah, bro, the bubble wasn't hard, bro. You want to know what it was?
I hate about this team, Pride. I hate how much they love to front run. Anybody who's watching that game one, and Kawhi dunked on Kleber, and they had that viral picture where it came with it. Yeah. Who had the last laugh in that game?
Kleber.
But that just symbolizes the mentality of this weak-ass Clippers team. Like I said, they just feel like they've done something, Sander.
Even Kleber said, bro, I'll get dunked on 101 times. He goes, as long as we catch a dub, he said, I'll be on top of that highlight.
But we're going to forget, like, Patrick Beverley, when he found out the news that he was getting Paul George, because they already had got, like, he was out at dinner with friends. He got the text message that they got Paul George. This man jumped on the table at Nobu restaurant in California, an expensive restaurant, jumped on the table and said, I just won a championship. Dude, you haven't even played yet.
Time out. JJ, do me a favor, sir.
Hold on.
Whoever you are, there's only one or two reasons you would say this.
He must be a Laker fan. That's what.
No. Either you're a casual or you just started watching basketball. One or the other. Because there's no way you're going to sit there and tell me that he's better than Larry Bird right now. Can he be? It's a possibility. If you're going to call Larry Bird a bum.
Disrespectful.
Listen, bro. Call him what you want, but guess what? You want to know what you're going to call him? Michael Jordan's dad. Because all I know is MJ couldn't see him. That's all I'm saying, bro. But
and we love all our fans here. Brian, thank you for watching this show. We appreciate you chiming in. But for you to say that Larry Bird was a bum, my guy, I don't know if you wear glasses or not, but I'm going to need you to do a little reading, put them on, educate yourself a little bit. But with that, I do want to transition to the next topic. Because, we had an unexpected retirement today at the NFL, guys. I know we both feel this loss, Pride. Adam Vinatieri retiring after 24 years. He did play for the Patriots and the Colts. So we both had a little time with the old man. He's the all-time leading scorer in NFL history, which is kind of crazy. You're like, a kicker has it? Absolutely. That man don't miss. He knew he was money kicking. He's a four-time Super Bowl champ, part of the NFL's 2000 All-Decade team, and well-deservedly so being part of the 100th anniversary all-time team. Because if you needed a field goal, who better was it to kick a field goal for you than Adam Vinatieri, Sander? So, with that news, their reactions to Adam retiring today.
Well, first of all, I was like, wow, a GOAT, literally a GOAT in the kick game is retiring, because I don't care what anybody says. Adam Vinatieri, for as long as he played in the NFL, was one of the best kickers of all time. Even at the older ages, he was still money, man. And not for nothing, Adam Vinatieri kind of broke the standard when it came to kickers. If you were to look at Adam Vinatieri, the dude is not a slender man or a flabby dude. The dude is actually, he puts in the work in the gym, and he actually has the games. And he's one of the greatest kickers of all time. Personally, I like obviously Vinatieri, Janikowski, Rob Baronas, rest in peace. I love those kickers. But Adam Vinatieri takes the cake. A man that should be kicking. And definitely when he announced the retirement, I'm sure he got the text message from this man, Tom Brady, saying thank you for all those years that we had together. Thank you for making sure that we won those Super Bowls, because I got you there. But if you ain't make those kicks, we would have lost the game. So thank you so much. I appreciate you. The man is a Super Bowl champion, four-time Super Bowl champion. He went on to the Colts and still was one of the best kickers of all time. So he kind of had two careers in one whole career. If you actually sit there and think about it, look at his numbers with the Colts and look at his numbers with the Patriots. The thing that's not there with the Colts is the Super Bowl rings. But he's still, for sure, he's still one of the dominant kickers. Did he win with the Colts?
He won. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That right there even bumps his resume even more to GOAT status. I don't think there's gonna be another kicker like Adam Vinatieri. The way the NFL is right now, they're hiring and firing kickers within 2-3 weeks of the NFL. So, I mean, I don't think anybody will pass him,
Sander,
as a kicker.
Sander, with all due respect, and I'm not gonna disrespect Adam Vinatieri because he's a GOAT. It's his day. I praise him. He's the number one on the depth chart when it comes to kickers. But that man, Justin Tucker, from the Ravens,
thank you.
He's making a nice resume for himself right now. He's got to get to a few Super Bowls.
Way better.
He definitely needs more Super Bowl rings in order to reach the tier that Adam Vinatieri is at.
I mean, I don't think he'll ever surpass him in the sense of Super Bowls, because I just feel like Adam was presented the opportunity to be in the Super Bowl. I'll let you go in a second, Pride. He has had the opportunity to be in more Super Bowls, but Justin Tucker overall is a better athlete than Adam Vinatieri ever been. You know what I mean? He still
hasn't reached the amount of points that Adam Vinatieri has. That's what I'm saying.
But we're talking about 24 seasons. You know what I mean? Give him some time. You know, Justin Tucker's on the right path. You know, I'm just saying guys like Adam Vinatieri opened up the door for guys like Justin Tucker to take the kicking game seriously, because I'm pretty sure a guy like Justin Tucker growing up, seeing Adam Vinatieri kick those field goals in the snow, thinking, damn, yo, the field goal is actually a very important part of this game, Pride. And I could be a pivotal member to this team. And now you can't win a Super Bowl if you don't have a valid kicker, Pride.
Yeah, for sure. You're right. Yeah, you definitely do need a valid kicker. But look, man. I'm just sick of this nonsense, bro. I'm just sick of the nonsense. Adam Vinatieri retired, bro. Whoop-de-doo. Congratulations. let's pump the brakes, bro. Let's stop acting like the dude led a team to, oh, yeah, bro. Like, come on, bro. He literally has the easiest position in football. I don't care what anybody says. You spent your career with two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Let's pump the brakes and stop acting like, yo, Adam Vinatieri single-handedly drugged two different teams. No, he didn't. Come on, bro. He was there for the ride. Can we just be honest here? Let's just be honest.
Nobody said that. I think Sander put it perfectly when he said Tom was like, I got you there. Now just make your damn kick.
Tom don't need to say thank you. Tom don't need to say thank you. Adam Vinatieri need to call Tom and say thank you for putting me on the map. And thank you, bro. You're disrespectful to a man that won you rings. He needs to say thank you to Tom Brady for letting the Colts give me the money that I got. Right. That's what he needs to do. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. No. Y'all both can scream, kick, moan, and cry all y'all want. The fact of the matter remains, this man is not out here kicking 50-yarders like that. He's not kicking 50 yards.
But he's kicking Super Bowl winning kicks. If you're not putting him in that
position, he doesn't have a killer leg like Tucker. Okay, that's one thing. Because if you literally snap the ball from the 50-yard line and you like the dude is still kicking it, and not only does he have a chance, this dude could literally make his career literally kicking 50, 55 yards. Justin Tucker can make his career off that. Well, come on, bro. We're talking about a dude who's out here talking about, oh my god, bro, 45 yards. Okay, here we go. Come on, bro.
He'll make it though. I want to see a 45 yarder.
For real. Okay, I can't kick a 45 yarder. Guess what? You can't run 45 yards. So it doesn't matter. Neither one of us is gonna be in the NFL Hall of Fame. It don't matter if I can do it or not. Whoop-de-doo, you're going to go in as a kicker. Congratulations. You literally had your hand held your entire career. Point blank, and because of Tom. Three of those are because of Tom.
Well, listen, Pride. I really do. I'm not going to sit here and debate that Vinatieri was a greater player than Tom Brady, because that'd be a foolish argument. But do I think there's a mutual respect there? Absolutely. There's a mutual respect there between the guys, because Tom knows that. And on that stage, you need to have, you know, ice in your veins to make sure you kick those field goals, and whether it's 45 yards, 55 yards,
he got ice in his veins, kicking a 30-yard field goal. We've seen field goals miss, bro.
Saw Blair Walsh miss a 27-yarder against the Seahawks.
I'm just saying he didn't do his job. You're making it seem like he missed that kick every other day. The dude was going on a streak before he missed that one. Let me have the floor.
Pride, let me talk. We share the Patriot fandom. Or just agree with me on this one or not. I'm a half a Patriot fan. You said in the beginning of the black. Nonetheless, we both like the Patriots. Now tell me this. The big mantra for New England is do your job. Every time that Adam Vinatieri had to go out there and kick a field goal, he did his job. did his job. 37 yards or not. That was what he did. I'm not here saying that he's the best athletic kicker of all time. That's not what I'm saying. Right now we're just reacting to his long career. He's made big kicks. I'm not saying he's the best, but in terms of legacy, at the moment, he is number one, and that's undisputed.
That's not even undisputed, because the thing is, y'all acting like he's
higher than on the Pissy board, bro.
Y'all bugging, bro. Y'all bugging. Y'all read for anything. Y'all be like,
it's Vinatieri number one?
But at the end of the day, it wasn't because of he came out here and he was just nonstop. Oh yeah, bro. Every single post.
Who's the best kicker?
That's my thing. Again, you like participation.
You're not having this conversation if Vinatieri missed those field goals, bro. You're not having this conversation,
yes,
bro.
We are.
The fact that he made those field goals is the fact that he's going, bro.
And that's
because Tom will have 5 rings instead of 7.
No. But that's the thing. Y'all saying that as if you guys are certain the kicker we would have had would have missed. Because when we let go to Vinatieri,
I got to go based off the knowledge of the kicker you had. What are you talking about? I got to go off what happened.
Everyone
is making an assumption over a player that don't exist in your head.
That's the funny part. Y'all cry and y'all moan. I don't let y'all talk. But I can't even speak half a sentence without y'all trying to chat. But I'm going to continue to look at my thing. And if you don't like it, oh, well, I'm going to continue to say it. You guys are under the assumption that whoever we had other than Adam Vinatieri would have missed it. That's the assumption you guys are going under. Yeah. And if that's the assumption you're going under, not only are you stupid,
you're crazy.
You just don't know football, period.
You think Bill Walsh, you're not making everything, bro.
Most of the time, when you're within 30 yards, that's over. And you can see
that field goal. It's
over 90% chance of them making it. So, y'all here acting like the dudes out here consistently.
You had like a Super Bowl. You had like a Super Bowl field goal. That's the crazy part about it.
If y'all keep acting like that, then I don't know what to tell y'all.
You don't know football. If you think a field goal in the Super Bowl is the same thing as a field goal in the regular season.
But at the same time, don't come out here and be like, oh, yeah, bro, this dude out here 30 yards, bro. Oh, my action is. Come on, bro.
There's in the Super Bowl,
and if you can't understand it again, you don't. You're not allowed to talk about Super Bowl. Your team hasn't been in there for 2 years.
I'm talking about Super Bowl.
You can't be on the Super Bowl, bro.
You think you have bigger balls in the Super Bowl, bro?
You should not be talking about Super Bowl. Your Super Bowl drought can rent a car. Don't be talking about Super Bowls. As I was saying, Adam Vinatieri, yes, he's a great kicker. I'm not going to give it up, bro. But again.
So stop from 30
yards, you're out here trying to – no, because you're trying to make –
you ain't going
to
kick a 30-yarder, bro.
Like that. When, JJ, there's kickers out here who are hitting 50, 55-yarders.
And they're also without missing 30-yarders, too.
Sweat, bro, without breaking a sweat. And if we're not allowed to say that, bro, again, football might be out of your wheelhouse, bro. If you're just going to – because by that route, guess what? Michael Jordan's the greatest of all time because he's 6-0.
Yeah, Vinatieri misses those field goals. Let's see how many rings your boy got.
From 30 yards in, I'm almost.
It doesn't matter. 30 yards. It could be 10 yards. It's in a Super Bowl. Is that more pressure in a Super Bowl than in a playoff game or a freaking regular season game? In the Super Bowl, when the game matters,
how can you talk about pressure?
It doesn't matter, bro.
Pressure more?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But the thing is, if Vinatieri misses those field goals in the Super Bowl, you're not having this conversation, bro.
I promise you, we are. Go ahead, JJ.
You wouldn't. We're not even talking about Tucker, and he has one. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Nonetheless, I didn't think that Adam Vinatieri would be such a spicy topic, but I love it, guys. Nonetheless, Adam, I'm sure you'll be your first
Hall of Famer. Ungrateful fans like pride. Ungrateful friends.
Ungrateful. Meanwhile, how many – and you had so many great kickers, still can't get out of the wild card. My bad, JJ, but what do I know?
You're ungrateful. Your man won you rings that you freaking – oh, I don't care about him.
Nonetheless, I'm excited for tonight's Eastern Conference game because the game between the Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks did not disappoint last week when Trae Young shut down that whole building, man. That building was rowdy. They're over here talking about F you. They're talking hella junk about Trae Young, and Trae Young ended up having the last laugh, and I'm happy for him because, you know, I'm not the biggest Trae Young guy, but I do like to see guys flourish in the playoffs, and he did put up a big performance pride. So kudos to him. But at the moment, now you got the Knicks who are down, and they're supposed to have the home court. So if they lose tonight, they're going to be in trouble going back to Atlanta. So do you think the Knicks have a chance of tying the series tonight?
I say yes, but that's only because Julius Randle didn't have that good of a game. He had a bad game. Now, I said that the Hawks are going to win in seven. I'm still going to stick with that. I do still think it's going to go seven. I still got the Hawks. I think what's going to happen is the Knicks are going to win this game. Because I don't know, bro. Madison Square Garden, there's no way this dude is going to be like, is going to lay another. Like, the way he's been ascending, bro, if he has another bad game. Oh, yeah. And we all know, y'all know how the New York media is, bro.
Cool, bro. What are you talking about? Where,
bro, you sneeze the wrong way and they want to trade. So in the playoffs, this is the first time they've been in the playoffs in a while. Everyone has to get hopes. They got home court advantage. If they do not capitalize on home court advantage, that's going to be an issue. Because I don't know. Going to Atlanta, I got Julius them going Randall, to Atlanta.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering. Like, who are you talking about?
Julius Randle.
Going to Atlanta, I think that's going to be a split. I legitimately think it's going to be a split. I think the Knicks are going to win one game. Hawks are going to win another. So this game is kind of pivotal because whoever wins – when you come back to the Garden, someone's going to be up 3-1. And like I said, bro, I don't know who it's going to be. Now, personally, game one, I've said this and people looked at me funny. Tibbs got outcoached. There were bits and parts of that game where Nate McMillan had a one-up, and he was a step or two ahead of Tibbs, which is weird because Tibbs was usually doesn't get outcoached like that, especially on the defensive end. He usually doesn't get outcoached like that. But Nate McMillan – and I've said this before. Ever since Nate McMillan took hold of this team, these young kids have been playing phenomenal. And the main difference of what they did before and what they did ever since Nate McMillan took over, these kids are running sets. Like, they'll go half. Like, before, you would see just a lot of Trae Young. I used to call it James Harden Jr. Dribble, 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 and then just throw it. And then whatever happens, happens. That's what I saw a lot of. Now I'm seeing sets. I'm seeing him, like, actually give the ball to Bogdanovich, and Bogdanovich will actually swing it to the paint to Colin. And everyone is, like, starting to touch the ball, and everyone is starting to feel comfortable. And, like, not only is everyone, like, fitting in a spot, but now they're, like, comfortable in that spot. So it's not like you're not asking a guy like Boban, be like, hey, yo, you've never averaged 20 in your career. You need to drop 25. You're not asking him to do that. You're asking him to do the stuff, frankly, he's been doing his entire career, even before he came to the NBA. You're asking him to do the same stuff. Same thing with Colin. You're asking him to do the same stuff. The only person who's different is Trey, and you're basically telling him, bro, a lot of those stupid shots you're taking, you're cutting back on him. And he's doing a good job with that because now that you're starting cutting down some of those.
He only took three threes in game one.
Right? And that's the thing, bro. He's a solid three-point shooter. His problem is when he makes two in a row, he then starts shooting four more.
Happy, yep.
And that's not a good plan because especially when you have a young kid who could dominate the paint and John Collins, use him. When you got a spark bench and Boban Bogdanovich, use him. You got guys who can score and help alleviate the role for you. So not only – like, look, man, I said this is going to be important for Trey because I'm like, yo, if Trey don't deliver in the playoffs, then this kid is just empty calories. He's just one of those regular season kids who shows up, throws up 50 shots, only to get 30 points, and everyone's going to look at the points and be like, oh, my God, this kid is great, et cetera, et cetera. But, bro, game one, he showed me, especially when he's like, you got quiet to get here. Woo! Yeah. He said that I was like, hey, yo, Trey, I wasn't a fan of you, but you know what? I'm going to hop on your bandwagon for a game or two, bro, dog.
Not for nothing. He won game ones across the map with that moment.
Yeah, bro, and like, because the thing is, he in his mind, he goes, yo, I'm going to Madison. They're going to treat me like a villain, so I'll be one. And my man's like, yo, he got quiet. Yeah, here, yo. And like everyone was dead silent. He was not kidding when he said that. I think I'm gonna say the Knicks are going to win. Like, I'm gonna say the Knicks again. I want this to go seven games. Because I think for two young teams, regardless of who gets bounced in the first round, if you play a full seven games, then the Hawks, if they lose, they gotta be feeling good because they're like, we have a head coach that we respect, who knows us and is giving us proper sets. We held our own with the 4 seed. We were just the 5th seed. Imagine if we were playing this way all year long. Like, remember, in the beginning, they looked like they weren't even going to be in the play-in. Forget the playoff. The play-in looked like a distant memory. You know what I mean? Now, all of a sudden, you know, so it's going to be interesting. Again, I'm going to say the Knicks, only because, like I said, I think they're going to split in Atlanta, and I do want them to come back. So that way it could be 2-2. So that way, again, we could have, you know, a little bit of a thing going on. But I'm going to tell you this right now, man. if the Hawks win this game, I don't want to say it's game over for the Knicks, but it's game over for the Knicks if they don't win this game.
Yeah, man. I mean, I understand 100%, man. I understand you got the Knicks, and maybe in game two they could play a little bit harder. But I'm seeing the Atlanta Hawks and the personnel that's up there on the court against the Knicks. And as tough as the Knicks play defense, I don't see them doing anything with guys like Trae Young and Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich was one of their key acquisitions in the offseason. You know, they stole him from the Milwaukee Bucks after somebody opened their mouth and, you know, spoke too soon. And Atlanta came in and swooped down, took him. And game one, Bogdanovich, he's kind of like similar to Klay Thompson in a sense, where he spreads the floor and he bangs the threes. He's not as great as Klay Thompson from three, of course, but he's a two-way player. He has some size on him, and he, you know, he's good with the ball as well. He doesn't have to play on ball always, but he's good with the ball as well. And McMillan has done an amazing job with Atlanta taking over and having them play to their full potential. John Collins was definitely a runner-up for most improved player of the year this year, and he played really well all season and been doing that even more in game one when he had that block on Derrick Rose and Derrick Rose went up. That's just a testament of the progression that John Collins has made defensively and offensively. He did score a little bit, not as much as I would like to see him in Atlanta do, because I know he can score, he can spread out the floor. He's not a three-point shooter by any stretch of the imagination, but he could bang the mid-range shots, pick and pop. I think Atlanta right now, they're clicking on all cylinders, and they suck the life out of Madison Square Garden. I saw Madison Square Garden show up game one all rowdy and happy, but the life was taken from them. I don't think they're going to have that same intensity in game two because, quite frankly, I don't see the Knicks matching what Atlanta has. The Knicks, they have good players. Julius Randle, one most improved player of the year. Congrats to him. But I don't see anybody on the Knicks other than, I forgot his name, number 27, Burks. I don't see anybody other than Burks being able to knock down the three-point shot. I mean, Derrick Rose, I don't see him. I don't really see him as going out there at the three-point line and shooting quickly. He's not a three-point shooter by any stretch of the imagination yet. Obi Toppin, to me, he's a skyriser. Obi Toppin, I don't think he's a three-point shooter. He could probably progress into one. But like I said, I don't see the Knicks matching what Atlanta has offensively. Therefore, I think Atlanta is going to win this game and win this series. I saw the Knicks play game one, guys, and I just saw Atlanta just doing what they want with them. Yeah, it was a tight game, but Atlanta, in a tight game, they have the requisite parts to win that game. If they need a two, they have guys that can make the three. If they need a three, they have guys that can make the three. If the Knicks are down with 2 minutes left, down by, let's say, 5 or 6 points, and I honestly don't think that they have the parts that can knock down the three-point shot like that does. And I think that's what's going to win this series, guys. That's going to be the key difference in this entire series is the three-point shot making from both teams. I think that's what's going to beat the Knicks. I don't think the Knicks have an answer for it. And when you have a guy like Trae Young, who literally the only guys that have the range like him is Stephen Curry and Damian Lillard. I'm not saying that he's as great as a shooter as them, Pride, because you look at me with those crazy eyes. But he has the range. He does. He does have the range like Lillard and Steph Curry. We've seen him shoot from almost half court from the logo. He doesn't make it as much as them. But he is rangy is what I'm saying. So I don't think you can defend that. And I don't think the Knicks, because Tom Thibodeau plays his guys real hard, I think they're going to tire themselves out, and they're not going to have any answer for Atlanta. Atlanta wins this game and wins this series in 6, maybe 7.
Yeah. Yeah, great point, both guys. And I think that a 7-game series would be the best-case scenario for the NBA. But, you know, I agree with both of you guys. It just looks like Atlanta has a couple more pistols in their pockets than the Knicks have when it comes to offense. You know, Bogdanovich, he's a sharpshooter, man. I was so impressed by this kid in game one. It just looks like he could just grab and shoot, kind of like you said with Klay. I'm not going to give him Klay-esque just yet, but just because Klay also delivers on that the defensive side of the ball. Right, and I think that's a big part of what Klay brings. But I got you on the catch and shoot. I got you on that one. You know, I'm a big person of how do you win and how do you lose? I think those are always big things when it comes to playoff series. And I think that the way that the Knicks lost this game to Atlanta, you know, I know we talked about the moment, how, yo, it's quiet as effing here, Pride. But the fact that that happened, listen, Trae Young won that game going to the bucket on a layup. They cannot stop this young man getting there. And Trae Young is not LeBron. This guy is not 6'9", 250. This kid is around 6 feet, and I think I weigh more than him. I'm a little pudgy guy, but you know what I mean? Like, this kid only like 195 or something. He ain't bullying me in the paint. That's all I know. He's not supposed to get on the paint in a last-second possession, Pride. That's not how it's supposed to happen if you're the Knicks. If anything, you got to contest that shot, and this guy literally made it look so easy. And I think that got into not only the Knicks' head, but, Sandra, you made a great point. New York saw that happen live. You know what I mean? It was their first playoff game in forever. And you best believe when that happened, there's a lot of Knicks fans that have gotten their hearts broken over time, Pride, that probably thought, damn, here we go again.
I'm not saying – because y'all just make it seem like the Hawks are going to run over them. I low-key might switch my pick because their best player, Julius Randle, had a bad game.
Yeah.
Had a bad game, and it took Trae Young to win on a last-second shot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say this one more time because I don't think you guys fully understand that, because y'all just making it seem like, oh, yeah, the Hawks are going to walk over. Like, question mark. Like, their best player had an off game.
I think it might be six. So let me just clarify that, because when you say that, you make it sound like we're saying it's going to be a sweep. No, I think they'll go back and forth. But I do think it'll be like six.
Oh, yeah, bro. Who do they have? Who do they have? Who do they have? Bro.
Name them.
RJ Barrett? RJ Barrett was hitting threes. Knock it off. I mean, so was Emmanuel Quickly. The two guys you mentioned who you just said, oh, bro, they can't do it, just so happen to have solid years.
Question mark? Putting all your faith in a rookie? Put all your faith in a rookie. Go ahead.
RJ Barrett's second year, and he made improvements.
Quigley is who I'm talking about. Quigley.
Has been a solid year. Oh, okay. So because he's a rookie, he can't. Okay, so by your logic then, this is Trae Young's first year in the playoffs. You can't trust him.
No, it's his second year in the NBA. It's his second year in the NBA. You can definitely trust him.
So now the first time doesn't matter for him.
No, but it matters for the Knicks. First year, but for him, it doesn't matter.
You gotta make one.
You don't even know what you're saying.
So anyway, Julius Randle had an off game. You gotta take that into consideration. I do not expect Julius Randle to have it, because he only had 15 points and he shot abysmal. I think he shot under 30% from the floor, which was horrible. There's no way he's gonna do that again. I can't see it.
I think it will go 6-7. Exactly what I would think that probably. Sorry if I interrupted you.
7 fucking, bro. Y'all out here pissing me off. Y'all here disrespecting Julius Randle, bro. I hate the Knicks with a passion. I told you I hate New York.
Oh, bro.
Skittles. I want the Knicks.
You want the Knicks? I got the Hawks.
Yes. I don't care. I got the Knicks. Canada, bro, because this is ridiculous. I hate New York. I hate everything to do with New York. I don't care about New York. But the mere fact that I feel like, oh my God, bro. Julius Randle had a bad game. Oh, that is mad. They have nobody. Bro! The best player had an awful game. By your logic, if the Lakers, right? If LeBron James had a bad night, what are you gonna do? Be like, oh yeah, now Anthony Davis is trash too then. He trash too. They couldn't win with him. He was trash too. Think about it. With a horrible game from their best player, it still took a last second shot. Yeah, I want the Knicks, bro. I'm stealing Skittles, bro.
You know what it is, though, Pride? I'm going to let you finish. You know what it is? They won on a last-second shot. Right?
Nope.
But I don't see the Knicks being able to win on a last-second shot is what I'm trying to say.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because, I mean, it's only 0.9 seconds left on the clock after Trae Young shot. But Julius Randle did have the chance
to make a shot. And he missed.
No. You're not wrong. He did miss. Yeah, but I think you made a good miss. Can I talk? I think you made a great point. He missed, but I do think you made the great point about Thibodeau getting out coaching that situation because I don't think they played the right call. I think that that would improve Pride in that, and I do think that because of the adjustments made on both sides, it will go 6, possibly 7. And like I said, that'd be the best case scenario. I would love a 7-game series between these two. Like I said, I just think that if it comes game 7, I think that Atlanta is just going to have that extra gun that the Knicks just don't happen. It might just be a Bogdanovich shot. Maybe it's Trey. I mean, you never know. It might be the other way around. Maybe Obi Toppin has that game that, you know, that Sanders think maybe not, might not happen. Maybe it does. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, I do think that this is a slugfest that the NBA has in this Eastern Conference round that maybe not many people thought will be very interesting. But, hey, it's been a good one in game one, and hopefully game two tonight does not disappoint, guys.
So who you got game two then? Who you got game two?
You know, I gotta put my money where my mouth is. I gotta pick Atlanta tonight.
So you're picking Atlanta, go 2-0?
Same 2-0. Here, bro.
I don't even like the Knicks.
I think it'll be like this. It'll go like this. Atlanta will go up 2-0. Uh-huh. Knicks steal game three. Atlanta wins game four. Knicks come back home and win game five. Atlanta closes it out in game six.
That's exactly how I had it.
But we'll see. Maybe I'm onto something. Maybe I'm not. Who knows? Make sure you guys stay tuned. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys check us out on Twitter. Pride is great tweeting on there at Stir the Pot Spore 1 and Sander on Twitch.tv/CloverCrestMediaGroup. CloverCrestMediaGroup. Our website is clovercrestmediagroup.com/StirThePotSports, and make sure you guys check us out on Spotify. Give us a download. We're under CMG Sports. You'll see our awesome logo, Stir the Spots there. Yeah, guys, I'm very excited. You know, we got rowdy. I love our energy on a Wednesday. It always gets spicy. I love it. I'm over here sweating, starting to get hot. It's about to be summertime soon. I'm excited.
I learned a lot today. I learned that Atlanta Hawks are championship contenders.
I knew he was going to go in the history of the NFL.
We're putting words in my mouth now. So with that, I'm JJ Vargas alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett.
Real quick, I want to just shout out King Joffy. Happy birthday, bro. We love you here at Stir the Pot. You're always a member here of the family. Happy birthday, man, and wish you many more.
But your Clippers are going to lose, Happy. Sorry to say.
I'm
JJ Vargas, alongside Riley Barrett, my man Sander. We'll catch you guys on Friday.
Attention all basketball fans. CMG Sports presents the Posting Up Podcast, where Lucas Bolduc, Sean Scanlon, and King Zay discuss the latest news and topics throughout the NBA. So, if you have a love for basketball, make sure you check out the Posting Up. The Giants are running New York like the times as Danny is dropping all sorts of dimes. Saquon's thighs are ruining defenses' lives and Leonard Williams making opposing QBs feel him. Receivers think it's scary to line up across James Bradberry, and the Giants have a bright future led by coach, judge, jury, and executioner. Tune in to Drawing About the G-Men every Wednesday at 6, live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. Which...